Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on, what is it, Wednesday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back from Chicago, had an incredible time talking with Huskers and other members of the conference. Just love it. Love the Windy City, love the weather where there was incredible. Loved getting the kickoff to college football season officially underway in downtown Chicago. We bring in the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Hail Varsity, at Danny Burke 5. Can email us, Chris, at HailVarsity.com. Okay, we'll get into some mailbag discussions. We will dive into some Nebraska topics. Jim Harbaugh got elbowed, steel-chaired, and suplexed all at once yesterday. It was Monday. It's a blur trying to decompress. We'll have a DJ Durkin hotel bathroom story that we'll have to bring Derek Peterson in on this. Wow. There's just an etiquette question we need to to ask about the head terp. So, man, in a pretty good mood. No KFOR morning show for me this morning, but Junior still had to get up. He's at Westland Basketball Camp. I pray they're helping him with his guide hand for some shooting. But, no, man, I'm just kind of shaking the cobwebs and rolling at it. Danny Burke, you're the MVP. I love you. Thanks for everything the last 2 days.
Yeah, of course. It was a good time hearing you get all those cool interviews. It was awesome to broadcast it, listen to it, edit it, and get to be a part of it with you. It was an awesome time.
Your town.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm a little jealous I didn't get to go with you, but you represented well for me, so good deal there.
Hugo's Frog Bar.
Yeah, I got to check that out, I guess.
My buddy Mike Riley, not that Mike Riley, of Average Joe Sports Show fame. Riles is a Chicago resident now, and he's been for a long time. And he's like, we're going to Hugo's. I'm like, all right, what's Hugo's about? He's like, it's Rodman's place. That's where Rodman would go kick it and do his thing. I had a filet. I had a little bourbon. Not overdoing. 7 ounces of, not bourbon, but 7 ounce filet. And then just, you know, a giant old ice cube and a bourbon.
Sure.
I'm usually too big a wuss to just drink bourbon straight. But when in Rome.
Exactly.
That's what we did. It was wonderful. Yeah. And then it was to bed and the Herdak crew and the Hail Varsity crew, I love you.
And then got some deep so much too, though.
I did. We did. And I got the look from Riley, and he's like, tourist. That's what he says. Like, nobody here eats deep dish.
Oh,
if you're from
on.
Here, you don't eat deep dish.
That's not true.
So let's get into it. A lot of Scott Frost topics to get into, man. And Frost was the star of the Big Ten. Nebraska needs to get back. The blueprint was discussed. Leadership is discussed. National writers and talking heads were kind of fawning all over Frost. And rightfully so, because they are that impressed with him. Yet Urban Meyer yesterday, and I can't wait to talk to Mitch Sherman about this. We'll talk to Coach DiNardo about it tomorrow. But the reality that is, you know, who's going to be king of the quarterbacks in the Big Ten? That is far and away a question on my mind. What coach and program can be that spot that when push comes to shove, they are king of the quarterback? And it's been Ohio State. And Urban Meyer talked a lot about all he's done with quarterbacks. Barrett, Cardale, Tebow. He made sure that came up in his small group setting. because Frost has been asked about, and that was the buzz for 2 days, was not only Frost in his offense, but what Frost has done with quarterbacks. And it needs to be highlighted, needs to be spoken about. But, you know, there's a little, hey, remember me, going on with Urban Meyer there. I mean, as crazy as his day was yesterday with the Coach Smith firing and the comments he made about that, 2009, his investigation, bringing his wife into it, you know, she investigated as well. Whatever, man. I mean, my view on it is Urban Meyer saw a dude that can recruit. He can sell ice to Eskimos. He can sell ketchup popsicles to folks wearing white gloves. He hired him. He brought him in at Florida. He took him with to Ohio State. That's that. That's your motive. Is the guy a bad person? Is he what's he inherently like versus a guy who makes a mistake? Well, Zach Smith's probably a pretty bad person, dude. I mean, like, fearful for the life of wife and child. Bad person if there's that many restraining orders. It's just my read, but I'm off target here. Back to the king of the quarterback. I mean, Frost's been getting, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours worth of love on what he's done at quarterback, and Urban made a point to discuss it, to talk about it. And then you've got a couple of other guys in conference. Well, Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, they got a lot of dudes playing ball. They got a lot of dudes making monster signing bonuses that are quarterbacks. They've done well. They have done well, and they are the team that at least has beaten Ohio State. Also, McSorley in Penn State, nothing to sneeze at with James Franklin. Lastly, Harbaugh still has the Andrew Luck back pocket to play. So that's something that is a very true narrative. Your champion of the Big Ten will have the best quarterback in the league. Period. Rocking it. Defense will win championships, but your quarterback's going to make plays against the who's who you need to beat. So Coach Frost opened up and was asked about the quarterback, the decision, the timeline. I know that it happened later Monday. We were so slammed yesterday with people that let's talk about the quarterback today. And when is the first quarterback of the Scott Frost era? When is that going to be announced?
I would like to make a decision at least by a week before the game. I think when you're going into preparation for a game, you need to know who the guy is. But we'll make the decision when it's clear who the best guy is and not before. And we won't wait after if it becomes clear. I'm excited to see those guys compete. And we got a long way to go. We're going to be playing a young guy no matter what. But we got good talent there.
So, again, the thing that was in neon lights in Chicago is confidence from Scott Frost. Good talent. We'll make an announcement. We're not going to be afraid to do it. We'll know a week before Bowden and Akron invade. Sounds good to me. But I think your real advantage for Nebraska is going to be a system that makes quarterbacks flourish. Think of what Oklahoma ran. I mean, think of Bradford. Think of Baker Mayfield. Who else? Rhett Bomar, before he got booted, was pretty good. I mean, Oklahoma's been a pretty quarterback-friendly place. And I don't know if it's chicken or egg, Danny, if it's quarterback or system or quarterback. Mike Leach, the Pirate in the Air Raid, man, he finds really good quarterbacks, but that system makes these guys rock stars. They help the player out. You have the same thing in Nebraska, where you have a system that will make the quarterback succeed, the offense will succeed because the quarterback's doing well. And it'll be nice. The thing that's killed Michigan and Harbaugh has been quarterback play. Well, and offensive line play. But the quarterback play has been bad. When Ohio State has lost, it's been because of their quarterback play. And we'll know here 3 weeks who the quarterback's going to be for Nebraska.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Is it the system or the player? And I think that's a very good question because it originates, of course, with the system. And I think you don't necessarily have to recruit a quarterback coming out of high school in order to fit that system necessarily. Of course, you want one who has experience, but it's a matter of how much you can develop that quarterback and who's willing to be developed into that system. So I think it originates with that coaching staff and how you can turn that player to fit into that perfectly. And you talked about Urban Meyer. He's been doing that so well for years. Harbaugh had Andrew Luck, and we've seen Frost do it multiple times, but can he apply it in the Big Ten? And will these players follow along? And will either Jebby or Martinez fit in that in the first year? And that's what you're hoping.
Well, and let's be straight. Okay, how good's your first year? And what's your second year look like? And Barnett says this, man, and don't kid yourself. He's been really good with a lot of quarterbacks because he was quarterback's coach at Colorado, and then he took that knowledge and was cognizant of it, went at Northwestern, went at Colorado. And your biggest predictor of success or failure is your history, right? Your history says and shows what you're going to be. And history shows and says that Scott Frost is going to be damn good at scoring points. Scott Frost is going to be damn good at finding a guy that can be the trigger man, be it Vernon Adams or Marcus Mariota. And it's not like the world wanted these guys. The right guys did. Oregon and A&M, that recruiting class that had Johnny Football and Marcus Mariota, worked out for both. Scott had both of them. Last minute, Johnny Football says, I'm going to A&M. I mean, this guy knows how to evaluate and look at quarterbacks. And that's going to be your difference. Mark, you know, and Coach Verduzco is incredible too. But, yeah, I mean, who's king of the quarterback? That's going to be your answer. And you can have runs where you have a couple of years back-to-back where, look at Texas, where they had Vince Young and Colt McCoy. Pretty successful 7 years. You'll totally take that. But it's a little different era now with quarterbacks because you have a dude that you're going to ride for 3 years. And then you hope that the next guy can be developed or is as good or better than the guy who just departs, because you don't have guys hanging out waiting their turn. That's the issue now in college football. Can Nebraska be different? How good's Haskins going to be for Ohio State? Got a lot of help around him. Got a great defense. He doesn't have to be Barrett by junior year. But look at the backup that won a title for Ohio State in Cardale. It worked out because he could get the ball downfield. That's what their offense needed. What Nebraska's offense needs is a guy that won't turn it over, but also can be a little dangerous, a little funky with his legs, but also can make the easy throws. Can make the throws, can process the information, and can make the connection. And I think Nebraska and Scott Frost have as a good a chance as some guys that have proven to be good at it in the Big Ten of being that king of the quarterback. Iowa, man, their system's nice, and they've had a guy like Beathard, right? That it all came together. Michigan State, I mean, you go down the list of their quarterbacks. Lewarke's good and young. Cousins has done his thing. Who's the guy that his teammates hate him, but he was pretty good? Connor Cook. Connor Cook was like the Eric Stratton of Michigan State quarterbacks, where you put up with him, but you'd secretly like to punch him in the face at night. They just have dudes. We'll see where life is after McSorley at Penn State, but so far, so good. So you can't not count them. Harbaugh has yet to make that splash with a quarterback. And maybe his inheritance here of Shea Patterson will be different. It'll be normal. The normal Harbaugh you're used to seeing with a Kaepernick or a Luck, okay? Because Harbaugh's done it before. He's been good with good quarterbacks. He's got good quarterbacks to come play for him. So Scott Frost done it with guys you've never freaking heard of on a recruiting ranking, or they're not as high as some others. And, man, they're good with him and Verduzco. So that's like one talking point that came out of Big Ten media days that I wanted to jump off of. Okay, when are you naming the quarterback? Great, let's take a broader look at quarterback play. The teams that are in it, Now, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's had their guy, Hornibrook, for now, what, 76 years? Nobody gives him respect. His record is sparkling. He's got a run game, an offensive line, and a defense. So he's kind of in the Alabama mode pre-Jalen Hurts, where you just say, son, take care of the ball, fall forward, hand it off, don't hurt us.
Let me ask you this. So you said whoever comes out of the Big Ten as champion, they're going to be the best quarterback play. Do you think
that
it's going to be due to the rest of the team? Or are you going to say, okay, Hornibrook
earned it? No, brother, he's got – okay, in the big games, Hornibrook's got to have more Miami moments.
Right.
If they're going to beat Penn State this year. I think they're totally good enough to do it. But Hornibrook's got to be an asset, not a liability. He can't be the drunk uncle at the reunion this time.
He's got to go in there, get his job done. Doesn't necessarily have to overachieve. Just don't make the mistakes
He can make the throws because the throws that homeboy made against Miami.
Where was that all year?
Oh, exactly. Where was that all year? But he had an awful game against Ohio State.
Right.
Three picks. I mean, no, they are absolutely good enough to be the cream. But he has got to step forward. All right, we'll talk with Mitch Sherman. Some more college football. Great to be with you back in Nebraska on a Wednesday with Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke. Saw this on social media, and I should give credit to who tweeted it out, but it's not ringing a bell with me. But he had all the Big Ten coaches sit down in Chicago yesterday for a photo shoot. They all took a picture. Everyone's smiling. Harbaugh even wore a suit, and it looked like the old Washington colors, a little gold and a little purple, but I think he was trying to go for the yellow and blue Michigan look. But Frost didn't wear a tie. And the thing I saw on social media yesterday that was priceless, and it was like, you know, quoted, dot, 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 hey, Scott, this is Coach Osborne, no ties ever, see 1984. And so Frost didn't have his tie on. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know if Mitch Sherman thinks it's as funny or not, but we welcome him with ESPN.com and magazine, Mr. College Football, Mitch Sherman. Mitch, are you fired up? How you doing, brother?
I'm a little road weary, Chris.
You sound super road weary. Tell me about your travels, my friend.
Do I? Well, I'm sorry.
No. You sound great, but the way you said it defined weariness.
Yeah. Well, I've been up since about 3:50 a.m. Made the journey, the day trip over to Iowa City, and visited with Kirk Ferentz and Noah Fant.
Oh, cool.
Today at the football complex in outside of Kinnick Stadium. So it was a productive trip, and I'll have some material coming up on the Hawkeyes as they ready to open camp next week, like just about every other team. So, but I am back or thereabouts, and got it all in one day. So that's good.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Mitch, I remember the recruiting down to the wire, and it probably wasn't even that close. I just remember knowing that Nebraska wanted Noah Fant, and I remember Nebraska botching getting Noah Fant, and Iowa stands out on their own two legs very strongly with their history of tight end play, their development, their academic success with what they can do from a medical school standpoint. And I don't want you to like give your story away, obviously, but what was that like for you to talk to Coach Ferentz, who Iowa's been a darn good football team, and they've beaten some big dogs, and Fant is, I mean, he's just a killer at tight end. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fant is the really interesting topic there. And the stuff that I talked to Coach Ferentz for quite a while, and he's going into his 20th year at Iowa, and so there's more to come on that topic. But with Fant, yeah, I mean, you nailed it with the recruiting process and characterizing it. And we talked some about that. Nebraska was more interested in him as a defensive guy. They would have allowed him to play on the offensive side. But, you know, he took a look at Iowa's history with tight ends, and they put tight end after tight end after tight end into the NFL. And Reese Morgan, the Iowa assistant who recruits this part of the region pretty well with some success. And I know that Scott Frost and his staff want to put an end to that. But, you know, Noah Fant is the kind of guy that Scott Frost and his staff will look to lock down. And they're doing that, and they did that with Nick Henrich last weekend. But, you know, going back 3 years, Mike Riley and his staff did not do that. And this was Iowa coming off of a Rose Bowl season after 2015. You know, Fant committed to Iowa in the summer before his senior year, and then Nebraska continued to talk to him down to the wire. But, he was sold on Iowa because of its history with the tight ends, because of the stability in that program. As you mentioned, his desire to go into to be an orthopedic doctor. So, you know, we'll see if Noah Fant stays at Iowa long enough to, you know, I think down the road, sure, you know, he's going to complete his education. But this is a guy who's going to have an opportunity probably to go to the NFL after this season, his third in Iowa as a junior coming up this fall.
Well, Coach Ferentz said as much in some of his sit-downs, like, well, I hope Noah's here next year. I mean, paraphrasing.
Right. And they're already working on him.
Yeah, he is. And how does Coach Ferentz feel about that? Because you've been to Iowa, and we sat down with Stanley at media days, and just kind of a no-nonsense kid. And then Hesse, that kid was at Mario Verduzco's quarterback camp when he was a teenager, and then he shifted to the defensive end. I mean, the Iowa guys, their mentality, their yes sir, no sir, just business type mentality is really impressive. Where they're locked in. I mean, they're gonna let their actions speak for themselves versus being loud and proud with not much substance.
Yeah, Nebraska fans remember Parker Hesse, the defensive end, for his pick six as a freshman at Memorial Stadium in the cold a couple of years ago.
You mean the screen pass at the four?
Right. Yeah, that did not work out well for Nebraska. And you know, he's obviously a good player, a defensive end who's come along in their program, got playing time early, was a guy who studied behind Drew Ott. When Ott, the Nebraskan, was in the Iowa program and starring before he got hurt his senior year. And Hesse was the guy who stepped in for Ott when Ott went down his last year in Iowa City. You mentioned Nate Stanley, Wisconsin kid. You know, he's elected a captain at Iowa this year as a junior, just the second guy in the history of the program, at least the history of the program under Kirk Ferentz. In 20 years to get that distinction. The other was Josie Jewell a year ago. And I think that represents and shows a little bit of, you know, how Iowa is going to be slow to adapt to change. And there's people all around college football who I think will scoff at Iowa a little bit for being slow to adapt to change and maybe slow to accept some things that have been accepted long ago around the sport. And you'll see this year that it's rare that Iowa loses guys early to the NFL. One, because they don't generally recruit the kind of talent out of high school that is, you know, is primed to go to the NFL after three seasons. Usually the guys who end up at the next level do so because they've developed in the Iowa program over 4 and 5 years. But after this last season, they had Josh Jackson as a cornerback who was an All-American, one of the better guys in the country at his spot, and then James Daniels, the center, who was not your typical Iowa recruit, was a five-star recruit, or at least you know, by some rankings had that attached to his name, and he had a brother, LaShawn Daniels, who's a running back who was at Iowa ahead of him, who paved the way. So those two guys are both gone. And not seniors at Iowa this year, and it's I think an illustration of how Kirk Ferentz and his program are, you know, catching up, accepting of the ways that have become the norm around the rest of college football, even if in a begrudging way. So I think they recognize the fact that they may have another guy in that same boat a few months from now in Noah Fant, the tight end out of Omaha South.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter's where you find him. Mitch, I know you've been roadieing to Iowa City and back, but generally, what were your impressions of Frost and Media Day for Nebraska?
Yeah, I thought he nailed it. Everything that I saw in watching his interviews, both his podium interview and his breakout interview, saw all of it, listened to all of it, and I thought that he hit all the points that he wanted to. And I was not surprised. I think we talked about it last week, or I know I talked about it last week, that to Chicago with a plan, that his plan was not to just wing it and answer the questions that people were going to throw at him. I think he had some specific things that he wanted to talk about, and I think he incorporated his talking points into his answers pretty well. So I think that'll be something that's consistent with Scott as the Nebraska coach. He's going to say what he wants to say on big stages like that. And it's good for the Big Ten. It's good for Nebraska to have a guy who can be one of the mouthpieces for the league. And I think that's what he is, even in year one. He's a young, of course, up-and-coming coach on the national level. And he's somebody that I think the Big Ten will be proud to display as one of the centerpieces of their league. So that was the expectation going in that I had. And I thought he fulfilled filled that role very well.
Mitch, I guess one of the talking points and things and kind of a theme to start off today was King of the Quarterbacks. Coach Frost was great about answering questions about quarterbacks in his recent history and his history overall. Just does a great job of promoting how good he's been, where he's been, and he was even as a player. Urban Meyer, when I was watching him yesterday in kind of a smaller session, made sure to mention what they've done with quarterback. Michigan State's done a good job with quarterbacks. McSorley's really good. Harbaugh has not found one at Michigan, but historically he's been good with quarterbacks. So
that's his reputation. Yeah.
I mean, so do you think it's going to be – do you think Frost will be able to hold his own or exceed what's already been done in the league when it comes to quarterback play?
Well, I think playing in the coaching in the Big Ten only enhances his ability to continue to develop quarterbacks. I think if he's at Oregon or UCF or Nebraska, I think Nebraska puts him in as good of a spot as any of those places to do well with quarterbacks. I don't think coaching alongside Urban Meyer and James Franklin and Mark D'Antonio and Jim Harbaugh in any way hurts his ability. Yeah, I think it helps it, if anything. It's a reputable league, and there's already good quarterback play in the Big Ten. So, and he's going to do it a different way. I don't think there's any coach or any offensive coordinator or quarterbacks coach among that group that we just mentioned who is going to coach his quarterbacks and recruit his quarterbacks in exactly the same way that Scott Frost and Mario Verduzco do at Nebraska. So they have their unique style, and I think it's fairly well known and evident from the job that they've done with their quarterbacks in recent years, what they want to do, the kind of guys that they want to get, how they expect them to develop, the expectations they have for them in the program. And, I think they can, there's no question that they can do what they want to do with players at that position in Lincoln.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Can't wait to read your story on Fant and Ferentz. Mitch, thanks for making time today, bud. Appreciate you as always.
You bet. Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you.
There he is, Mitch Sherman with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, is coming up in 25 minutes. We've made it back from Chicago. The hilarity will ensue about Chicago. And oh yeah, football talk. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Shuey was awesome. Was at Pinnacle Bank with us last week. Pinnacle Bank Championship. He's next. Shuey in the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman. We'll have some of the things you need to hear out there on social media, on Twitter, at Hail Varsity and at ESPN 1480. Some of the things Mitch had to say about his chat with Noah Fant and what's going on with the quarterback play in the Big Ten. Derek Peterson's coming up, a Jock Doc on the way as well. We welcome in with Wilderness Ridge Golf, Mike Shewhart, golf pro, trainer, teacher extraordinaire. Wow.
Too kind. Too kind.
He is. Where's your jar of pennies?
He's a professional handicapper too.
Where's your finder's fee here for Shuey? Or do we need to?
Do you have to go to your car, get your piggy bank?
So explain what happened here, other than what I saw on social media. I saw Sunday morning as I'm getting ready. Spencer Long was flying back east to get ready for the Jets, and Spencer had done the Tyson's Treasure Chest thing with Searles,
nice.
the fundraiser that we talked about, and Spencer's there watching Tiger, and I'm like, man, this is good. You've got Tiger in the hunt, and then you got Molinari doing his work, and you have Danny Burke, a happy dude, and Mike Shewhart being the genius that he is.
Yeah, basically, so after last week, Shuey was talking about the Open, and after he got off, I pull him over. I'm like, you know, Shuey, you're talking about Justin Rose, and I think I kind of like him, but who do you like as your dark horse? He's like, you know, I like that Molinari guy. And I was like, okay, you know, I trust Shuey, of course. He's got the expertise behind it. And I never even knew who Molinari is. Like, I pay attention to golf, but I know mostly just a big name. So I threw a couple bucks on him.
Nice.
Then I threw a couple bucks on him.
I can turn the air back on.
Then I checked the leaderboard on Sunday to see how I was doing. And I was like, holy crap, dude. You know, he's in it. Like,
thanks
this
for cleaning it up for the radio.
And he was like in the lead. I text my dad. I was like, Dad, like, let's go Molinari. He's like, don't tell me you threw money on him. I was like, you bet your butt I did. I was like, all right, it wasn't me, but Shuey told me to. He's like, yeah, I figured. But yeah, so it turned a couple bucks into a pretty nice Sunday night. So.
That a boy.
I had a guy text me while we were in Chicago, and he went out to Vegas, and he was listening to Shuey. And he threw, Molinari was what, 52 to 1?
Something like that.
Yeah, the guy made 12 grand.
Jeez,
so there's success story after success story.
That's awesome.
And Shuey's your man. So Shuey, let's. What else are you thinking? Who? What's the old line from Wall Street? Blue horseshoe or whatever.
Exactly.
We need his lottery numbers.
Shuey, we're going to the convenience store.
We're going to Council Bluffs. Shuey.
We're going to Fall Tucky. We're going to Council Tucky. Okay, let's get to golf here, but. But first and foremost, Molinari staying chill with Tiger on the prowl. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is amazing, you know, because Tiger hasn't been on the prowl for a while, and there he was. All of a sudden, he's on top of the leaderboard. And, you know, Tiger just has a crowd that always follows him, and they start going nuts when he does this thing. So it gets a little hectic when you're in that group with him because there's a lot of commotion going on. But he talked about it in his interview afterwards. You know, he knew, and he'd played with Tiger a few times, so he knew what was in store for him, and he just felt really comfortable, and he was ready for it. You know, it's that guy's been on a tear. I mean, I didn't know this, but I listened to one of the stats. He's won three of his last five tournaments, mm-hmm. or six tournaments. He finished second in the other one. What was amazing is that the final round in every one of those tournaments that he'd won – Saturday and Sunday, he's only made one bogey.
What?
One bogey. That's amazing. I mean, that's like impossible. I can't even fathom that. On the courses that he's playing, especially there, I mean, there's trouble lurking everywhere. You know, he didn't make a bogey on Sunday. That's very impressive. So
the bigger picture here, you got Molinari, the round of his life. First Italian to win a major. I mean, you have that pressure and that exuberance, that excitement. You got a guy like Francesco that wants that challenge, wants to be the first. You have Tiger doing his thing. You had such a great...
What a leaderboard.
You had a great leaderboard. And then Zach Johnson's a guy we both root for. We both like Zach a ton. And he was right there.
Yeah. I mean, it was,
Rory.
Was the who's who. I mean, it could have been anybody's. That's what made it so, exciting.
Okay, give me your analyst hat on here. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. When push comes to shove, how do guys rise up, especially when you've got a guy in Francisco Molinari that has never been in this spot before? I know you just said he's playing great ball, great golf, but this is all about staying and controlling your breathing and making that practice translate to your final nine or your final three.
It's just it's a lot of it's just trust, you know, and part of that trust was built up because of what he had going into that. I mean, he felt obviously super comfortable with his game. He felt like he had control of his game because he's had a lot of success the past six tournaments, you know, so that builds a lot of trust, and you have to just try to stay in the moment and stay committed to what that is and stay believing in that, which is tough to do because you're got the British Open right there in your hands, and it's like, but you can't go there. That's what they're really good at. I mean, they treat it like any other, just like they're playing. You know, they're able to mentally do that, because if you do go there, it becomes very difficult for you to perform because there's too much at stake of what they want. Sometimes you can want something too much and you start to fail because you want it that much.
To squeeze too hard.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like they just do a good job of staying in the moment, staying in the process, committing to the things that they've done. And they've had a massive amount. He's had a massive amount of success, you know, so it's a little easier to do that because it's like, if I just trust what I do, stay with my routine, do the same thing I do, get into this is just a shot that I'm hitting like I would be practicing, or like in the tournament I just played, the last six tournaments I played. So you typically have to have some success leading up to that point to be able to get through that. But that's easier said than done. I mean, you have to work on it. I mean, it's happened to the greatest players in the world. Greg Norman comes to mind, you know. He wanted to win the Masters in the worst way, and he had it right in his hand, and he kind of let himself slip. All he had to do was hit a six iron on the green on the last hole and two putt, and he wins the Masters, and he hit it in the gallery. Mm-hmm. You know, and he hadn't hit a shot like that ever.
No.
You know, so it's like sometimes when you want it more than you can basically handle, the pressure gets too much to you. You lose a little of your focus, and it's easy to do that. So, but he stayed committed to what he was. He trusted in what he was doing, and he stayed true to who he is. I mean, he's an incredible ball striker, so that's why the course set up really well for him. You know, he hits it straight. He hits it very solid. He has a lot of control of his golf ball, which is, into those circumstances, sometimes even with control, that golf course bounces and rolls and does things that you lose control. And if you are a little bit sideways, you're going to pay the price out there. I mean, it's Carnasty's, it's named for a reason, because it's nasty when you hit her offline.
It's Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. A few more minutes with Shuey. It got kicked off yesterday, but it happens through Sunday, the 29th. It's a big women's apparel sale, Wilderness Ridge. You have a wife, girlfriend, daughter that loves golf. The apparel sale's alive and well. Buy one, get one half off at Wilderness Ridge today. 402-434-5106. Stop by the clubhouse, see Shuey, and get some of that awesome apparel.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, big weekend at Wilderness Ridge. Mike Shewhart, Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, the very thankful Danny Burke. Did you write Shuey a thank you card for saying Molinari's your guy?
I've been working on something.
There's ESPN thank you cards in the corner there.
I'll get working on it.
We'll see how I do on the PGA.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, now we're going to get picky. Mike Shewhart's with us. Wilderness Ridge Golf, 434-5106. Again, an apparel sale going on. If you're a female, we love you. If you're married to one or related to a female, they have the golf sale going on now through Sunday, 50% off. So go get the hookup. Golf gear is awesome. We're going to tweet out a picture of Shuey in his beautiful Wilderness Ridge polo. I like those. So I said it's a big week. I mean, it's the Divot Dog playoffs to defend the belt for youth golf. And the youth golf in Lincoln and our affiliates out west You know, Kearney, Hastings, North Platte area, and Columbus. I mean, you know how good a state this is for young kids playing golf and the places to go play golf. And you all come together, and it's let's tee it up and let it fly.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, watching them in the team format that they play and watching their partners and them, and then they're competing against other teams. I mean, it's just it's really fun for me. It's fun for the kids. You know, and it's grown so much. It's incredible from where it started 4 or 5 years ago to what it is now. So we played our last tournament on Monday, and I had 3 teams qualify for the playoffs, which is
good
cool.
For you. Congratulations.
Yeah. So they take the top 16 in our division. So then we play on Thursday. So they cut 16 down to 4. Mm. And then those 4 go out and play, and then the low 2 will make it to the finals, which is the following week at the Lincoln Country Club.
So oh, good.
We did that. We've made it to the finals every year, so hopefully we can make it back again and see if we can retain our belt. I was a little sad because they came out and picked my belt up this morning. So it's like...
So who did what? I mean, did they...
So, no, they just went and they're going to engrave us, our name on it, and then... have it for the championship to see who wins it next year.
Okay.
Do you guys treat it like the Stanley Cup? Everyone gets a day with it or something?
So I take it to practice every day.
Okay.
So every day at practice. So we have practices on Thursday.
Do you have a picture of the belt we can shoot? We can tweet out?
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
All right. Cool.
So.
Do you want to share it? Let me see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It's cool. It looks like the big WWF.
No, I'm
belt.
Sure it looks
it's
insane.
It's really cool.
It looks so good.
So, but at practice every day, that's one of the things. Everybody has to touch the belt.
Okay.
So it's like
the Huskers? Play like a champion today kind of
thing. Don't ever negate or equate Notre Dame and Shuey, please.
It's like the Huskers when they run out, man. They got to touch
exactly.
The horseshoe.
Yeah, there
it's
you
the
go.
Same
okay,
thing. They
got
to touch the belt. Every
Danny's
day.
Got a lucky number and a rabbit's foot he rubs. I have a special ashtray I touch.
Oh, yeah.
And then you
got
to.
Well, I got the belt.
You got the belt.
So we have a lot of fun with it. So every day, man, they had to touch the belt. And they gives them good luck.
No, that is good, man. I can't wait for it. The Divot Dogs rocking. Chewy, we will see you soon. Can't wait to get caught up again. Hang out if you like. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity coming up. We'll get a picture of that belt tweeted out as the Divot Dogs try and defend their title. A lot of fun to see you, bro.
Always.
And thank you so much for coming out to Pinnacle Bank Championship.
Yeah, that was fun.
Last Friday. That was a blast. It was great to be out there for pro golf in the state of Nebraska. Hour 2, Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, I am sad. Mike Shewhart is leaving. He's running. He's running away. It's good to talk with him. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. Chris Schmidt, great to be with you. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He is back from Chicago. He sat across the aisle from me. And a lot to talk with him about. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, at Dr. Petey HV on Twitter. Derek, have you decompressed, my friend? Are you... feeling fresh after travel? How are you?
I am not feeling fresh. We will have to make it through the weekend before that happens again. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, right? It's a grinder, right? And it's a grinder the last 3 days, but it's a good grind and so much info and so much awesome stuff you and Greg and Aaron put up with HailVarsity.com and Gorman and just the video side of things. It was just a lot of fun. Your Big Ten Media Day headquarters, HailVarsity.com. What stuck out to you most about Chicago with Nebraska?
I think it's obviously Frost. He's the
right.
Billed as the headliner, and he lived up to that billing. It was like he'd been there before. There was a confidence. I have never seen the American conferences. Media days, but mm-hmm. I would imagine they are not on the same scope of Big Ten media days, and Frost handled it like he'd been there for the last 5 years. He was confident. He had that line of get us now because you're not going to be getting us later, which is, I mean, it's not what he said, but that's essentially what he was
getting
at.
That's what he means, right.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, he was saying you're not going to beat us later unless you jump on us right now. I mean, it was just – it was interesting to see the comfort, the confidence that we have been seeing for a while, to see that portrayed in him not blink at all on that level. And then to see the reaction from the national people, so many think pieces written in the last couple days about how this is going to be a quicker turnaround than people think. And that was what the players said. Frost was talking about patience, and Frost was talking about, you know, building this thing the right way. I thought it was interesting that when he got asked about coming back to Nebraska, he made the point of saying one of the factors in his decision to come back was having a situation where he was going to be allowed the time to build properly. And when he's saying, when he's dropping those little nuggets, it's like, hey, might not be right away, so don't get too caught up. But then you've got just the overabundance of people that are kind of swept up in Frost mania and thinking, yeah, this team could probably do something a little bit earlier than people think. I talked to TJ Edwards, linebacker from Wisconsin, and he had some pretty glowing remarks about Nebraska. Said they play him tough. They still see him as a rival. He's really excited about what Nebraska is going to be like this year because they've got talent and now they've got coaching. So that was probably my main takeaway, was just Frost mania was definitely in full swing.
Eric, speaking of Frost mania, you know, the players obviously hear about it, see it being there at the Big Ten days. What do you think the coaches' reaction were to kind of just these 2 days, a lot of it being centered around Frost? He's the new kid on the block, already seeming like he's getting praised. Do you think these Big Ten coaches like Harbaugh and Meyer kind of have the mentality that, you know, he needs to earn it before he gets all this praise?
I don't think Meyer cares. Meyer had enough issues that he had to worry about having fired Zach Smith the day before he got to the podium. I don't think he is too worried about attention that another coach is getting. Because, I mean, P.J. Fleck was the darling of last year's Big Ten media days. Everybody was talking about him. I don't think Meyer cares. Harbaugh is probably a little happy to have some of the spotlight off him so that people aren't constantly poking at him. I thought it was interesting. You know, I brought up P.J. Fleck. P.J. had glowing remarks about Scott as a person. I talked to four or five of the kind of mid-tier team program coaches, and everybody just had tremendous things to say about Scott. I don't know if that's trying to get on Scott's good side or if that's, you know, it's probably a little of both, knowing Scott and knowing the type of guy he is. Go ahead, Smitty.
No, I was going to say, what did Minnesota win by last year? Was it like 54-14?
54-21.
Okay. Whether that wasn't on Scott's watch, but he sure as hell is going to take that personal.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely.
You're going to need to get on Scott's good side because he's going to be handing out some payback. At least that's what he wants. Don't you get that feel? I mean, he is not. The look says enough to me. He doesn't need to verbalize just how, and he has at times, but if you want to just get him like full tilt, what the hell mode, right? He is incensed about how bad Nebraska football has been the last 20 years. Not 20, but specifically the last three.
Yeah. And that was one of the things. I think it was Paul Meyerberg in his USA Today piece.
Talked to Paul.
There was a quote in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a quote in there that was essentially Frost just railing on the last regime in the way that the team played in recent years, and that was one of the few times that I've seen a quote like that, maybe the only time I've seen a quote like that from Scott. So he's happy to be back. He talked about the sentiment with being the coach at Nebraska, but, I mean, absolutely, you could get those moments where you could sense annoyance that this thing had gotten so low.
Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Awesome coverage at Big Ten Media Days at Dr. Petey. HV is where you follow Derek and read him in the magazine at HailVarsity.com. We were talking about this to start the hour, and Frost, deservedly so, is getting the praise as you're innovative, you're fun, your offense is going to be a party, right? It's a blast. for quarterbacks, and your history with quarterbacks is the talking point. And Urban, towards the tail end, when he said something about Coach Frost, and it was a compliment, it is in his smaller session. This is after all the Smith questions. He was complimentary, but before Frost was talked about, Urban went out of his way to kind of highlight all he's done with quarterbacks. And I felt that was on purpose. It was slipped in on a question related to Haskins. Okay, it was a quarterback question, but he was able to expand, look what I've done with quarterbacks, and he's right. Harbaugh has a good history of quarterbacks, and then Sparty is putting a lot of dudes into the league at the quarterback spot. So who's going to be king of the quarterback? And do you think Nebraska and Frost, because of what they do and how they do it, more times than not can be the league leader with not only development, but then just getting that production at quarterback? Because ultimately, you want to win a Big Ten title. You need defense. You need run game. Yes, yes, yes. But ultimately, quarterback's going to be your difference maker.
Yeah, so short answer to your question, yes. Nebraska can, when this thing gets up and running, Nebraska can be the cream of the crop when it comes to quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Long answer, I say that because two reasons. Meyer has a track record, a history with good quarterbacks. Obviously, a really, really good one just left. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh's had some good quarterbacks. D'Antonio at Michigan State has had some good quarterbacks. Nobody's won a Heisman. Frost had Marcus Mariota, who won a Heisman, and in doing so, set efficiency marks. Mackenzie Milton at Central Florida, as a sophomore, after very few offers coming out of high school, was a top 10 in Heisman voting and heading into this season as a... I thought he was 8.
Was he 8?
Whatever. Either way.
Right.
I think he was 8, yeah. Top 10 Heisman voting as a sophomore, heads into his junior season, very much... A guy that people look at and say he could do it this year if the offense stays. But Frost has something that nobody else in the Big Ten has, and that is quarterbacks coach Mario Fradusco. He might be the best quarterback coach in the conference, just in terms of what he gives you, the way he coaches the position, the way he can relate to players, the way that he can take these huge, complex concepts and break them down and deliver them in a way that the quarterbacks can understand and take all of this information overload and get it to where they understand and can digest the important things to them. And he is an X factor on this coaching staff. Mario Fradusco is.
Derek,
how I see it.
No, right. And that was part of the question. I mean, what's going to separate you? It's going to be your quarterback play, and where's Nebraska rank with that? Time will tell with it, but they have as good a shot as anybody to be the best in the league. And to win, you need to be top two. If you don't have the best quarterback, have the second best quarterback and have the best defense. Derek Peterson's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PDHV. Okay, so I need your kind of take and rundown here on Coach Durkin. The bar lobby and one of our comrades with the airspace violation.
Okay, you mentioned this, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
I thought you were right.
I
thought
been around
okay,
for that.
Oh, you were right by there. You must not have been listening. So here's what happens. Okay, we're all getting we're in the lobby yesterday, and some of us had to have another $9 beer to remember Chicago.
Or to take the edge off the flight.
Yeah, because I don't like flying either.
Yep.
So Gorman is there, and he's our social media stud guru with Herd At and Hail Varsity, along with Aaron Sorensen. So Gorman goes to the bathroom before we find the Uber ride. You and Greg are just getting wrapped up and you're headed down. I thought you were right there. So Gorman goes to the bathroom and then comes back and he doesn't look frightened. But Gorman's like, got a question for the room. I'm like, all right, what's up? Yeah, what's it say about a dude if you're all alone in the bathroom and there's no trough, right? Like it's not 1989, and it's not Memorial Stadium, and it's not halftime of the Oklahoma game. There's no trough, but there's a urinal, and there's 15 of them lined up in a row. You know this hotel we're at, right? Well, yep. Gorman's doing his thing, and out of nowhere, here comes Durkin, Fear the Turtle, and bellies right up next to Gorman to use the can when there's 75 other choices. And Gorman's like, am I being weird about that, or does that say a lot about somebody?
It's a power move, man.
I thought you knew this. Is it bad?
I did not.
Is it,
I have no idea this happened.
Oh, it did. So my question here, is that a violation of airspace? The way you go about it from a movie standpoint, if you're going to a movie with a brother or somebody or a friend, Danny and I were to go to a movie.
You always have one in between.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's definitely a psycho move for sure. But it's just kind of funny if he was just like,
psycho move.
Just to feel like the alpha in the room, he's just like, I'm just going to walk up next to this guy, you know.
I mean, Gorman's got the beard going, got the hat. I mean, Gorman, he's got tats. Yeah. Gorman looks like
an intimidating guy.
Yeah, he's friendly. He's good. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Gorman isn't going to harm you, but he could frighten you, you know? Or am I wrong with that? I think he looks imposing.
Sure, yeah.
But what about yes or no? Is that a violation of airspace, Big Ten airspace?
I mean, yeah, you always leave at least one, if not more, when you're doing that. There's always one in between. But I will say this about Durkin. He can afford to do whatever he wants to do after the day that he had yesterday at the podium.
Well,
I mean, I felt bad for him. The first 15 minutes on the main stage, he got like two questions and nobody had a question for him. And then he goes to breakouts and everybody was just hammering him over the practice death from earlier this summer.
Sure,
and I felt for him, but yeah, man, you gotta use. You gotta give one or two at least.
The space between, right?
Sure.
I thought it was a fair question. That's all. Derek, what's coming up, man? I mean, you've got so much content out there. What's next for you on Hail Varsity? What can folks read and see?
I have a lot of audio that I'm having to sift through from Joe. I haven't even gotten to the audio from Gerald Foster and Nick Stoltenberg that I have yet.
Okay.
I talked to a bunch of coaches about Frost's offense and Frost's defense. Maryland and DJ Durkin have a very unique perspective amongst the Big Ten coaches
because they played
Central Florida last year. I got some good quotes from Durkin. He actually told me that the defense was something that stood out to them. And the front seven in particular was one of the strongest that they played all of last year, which struck me because typically when you think of, you know, the speed and offensive-minded and like the Oregon-like teams, you don't think of physical. But when you're talking about a front seven being really, really good, you're talking about physicality. So that was interesting. That was a nice thing to hear from Durkin. So I got that. I talked to some Wisconsin players and some Iowa players about how they view Nebraska, how they view Scott Frost and what's coming, and if they still view the team as a rival.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming. And then some Nebraska-specific stuff from Nick Stoltenberg and from Gerald Foster on going against the offensive line and the defensive line in the weight room and then on the field, and then some of the younger guys that are standing out. Thought it was interesting. Almost everybody said Will Jackson when asked about younger guys that are making some noise.
There's a corner for you, absolutely.
Yep.
Derek Peterson at Dr. PDHV. Read him, follow him. Awesome stuff. Derek, it's fun in Chicago. Awesome stuff, brother. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes, man.
No problem, man. Have a good one.
You too. We'll talk soon. Dr. Petey, see, he knows it. He gets it. There's got to be a couple of urinals between. No stage fright.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey. Good stuff from Rick at Sauter-Heyman. your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Stop by and see Rick today, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, out west in Grand Island, and can log on SauterHayman.com. Pure-grown diamonds exclusively with Sauter Heyman. Real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. They're eco-friendly. They are beautiful. And see where you can get a pair, maybe for those earrings. Maybe it's time to kind of upgrade the wedding band that she got her. She already has a beautiful diamond from Sauter Heyman. But maybe you want to do something with the wedding band. Maybe it's necklace time. Maybe it's a bracelet. All those options with pure-grown diamonds exclusively in Nebraska with Sauter Heyman. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let's do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Okay. So, Jim Harbaugh got beat with both ends of the hammer at his large press conference. Cut 13, I believe, with Harbaugh. 14. Sorry, Danny. 14. I forget what number Harbaugh was at Michigan. He might have been 14. This is fitting. We'll have some more thoughts from Scott Frost here in a second. But what are you supposed to do if you're Jim Harbaugh? And maybe you loved this. I about fell over when I heard it. And it's nice to have your rival have folks in the media that will ask this.
Coach Crowley, Sullivan, Spartans Wire. A little bit of a follow-up on that question. You came into Ann Arbor with perhaps the most hype of any coach in the history of the Big Ten, maybe in all of college football. A few years later, you've got a third place, and fourth place finish, and you're 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. What do you have to do this year to demonstrate to the Michigan community that you are on the path to achieving what they hired you to achieve?
Well, the improvement will lead to success, will lead to championships.
I didn't edit that. That's it. What can you say? What can you do if you're Harbaugh? And listen, man, take note and a lesson. If you're a first-year coach, how do you want to come in? Do you come in all business, like you own the joint, cocky, look at me, here's the attention, I'm a psycho? Or do you come in with the storyline, well, maybe some folks say you're cocky, but no doubt there's confidence, okay? Are you, like, for real, or are you a clown show? And more, Harbaugh looks like a clown show because he's not delivered. Now, don't confuse that with having bad years. He has had pretty good years. First 2 years at Michigan, really good. Last year sucked, okay? And he's not beating his rival. And it's gotten personal. And it's a chip on the shoulder of Michigan State, where they're good and they've been blue collar, but they're sick of the little brother stuff, and they're 2-1 against Michigan. They just are. Harbaugh's not had what he's needed, that offensive line or quarterback. But man. So I look at this and, one, it's a Spartan publication giving both middle fingers to Harbaugh with all this, let me jump up and down and get the attention-seeking behavior like a twerp. Then there's Frost rolling in, very confident. The world is eating out of his hand, because the national media, because they've seen him do it. And to be honest, what Harbaugh did at Stanford, super impressive. What he did in the NFL was great. And what he was supposed to do at Michigan, he should have come in, if you could rewind it, hey man, I know this place, I love this place, because there are parallels between Harbaugh and Frost. You're an awesome championship quarterback at your alma mater. You've come to fix it. You can fix it because you know it and understand it, and you won here. But how about just weird? And I mean, I know folks who've played for him and with him, and they don't he's not a bad guy. He's just kind of a whack job. As I talk out of both sides of my mouth, does that make sense to you, Danny? And how he came into the Big Ten is completely biting him in the ass now. More so than losing to Ohio State. I mean, he went to overtime with Ohio State. He was right there. He lost twice the Surrender Cobra game, where some guy busted his hip. The kicker started taking shots at Jaeger early, whiffed on the kick. They pick it and scoop it with 3 seconds left. All they had to do was fall. Okay, he's 2-1 against Sparty.
That was one of the greatest plays in college football.
Oh, I know. But what's funny is you see everyone just hands on top of the head going, my Lord, what just happened?
Yeah, and then they go to Harbaugh, and he just doesn't even know what to
do. He's just like wandering around.
I wish we could see his reaction once he got off the field into the locker room after that. Oh, my gosh. That would have been fantastic.
I think he's pretty good at like coaching his kids up and staying somewhat approachable. I think guys like playing for him.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's just that off-the-field approach. If you don't really know who he is, it's kind of the...
He's taking his shirt off and he's wrestling kids in the living room.
Right. I think it's kind of the same viewpoint that some people, and I don't have obviously as much knowledge of it as you would because I wasn't here for the full era, but with how people looked at Bo Pelini, because a lot of people from the outside perspective kind of thought he was this psycho, crazy guy. But his players all loved him and backed him up the whole time, you know, or at least most of them did.
Well, here is something similar. There was a big, and you know this. I mean, the Bo cam, the sideline behavior, right? That is going to send tremors through the sideline. And you're waiting for an eruption. You are looked at as the leader. How do you handle things, good or bad? And that's reflected on by your team. And more times than not, there's a lot more of there's a lot more of Frost like Osborne on the sideline. And there's in Bo's a lot like Woody Hayes. And I guarantee you Harbaugh watching him in some of the tight ball games. I mean, you remember him flipping the clipboard, losing his mind against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids see that and it doesn't exude confidence. So maybe it gets a little pucker factor going here, a little tentative. I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Harbaugh's won at a high level, though.
Right.
I mean, so is Bo, but Bo did it as a coordinator. Harbaugh's already done it as a head coach. I don't know. But you had steel chair, people's elbow, suplex, all at the same time off the top rope of the steel cage on Harbaugh with that question.
I kind of thought it was a good question. I mean, everyone's thinking it. The guy worded it very well, and you know, Harbaugh gave his
the only thing. Well, there's no answer to it. I'm getting my butt kicked by my rivals. His answer is right, but you just need to sizzle it up a little bit. Actually, no, you don't. Your answer is a complete 180 from how you walked into this league, and the 2 years of Harbaugh, and people. You just got to learn to say no is my point to Harbaugh with the exposure. And he was, you know, poking the bear, going down to IMG during spring break, going to Italy, going to Normandy. Whatever, man. You got to separate. I mean, the Jordan brand, which was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
We got to win. Let's get back to Scott Frost. We got a jock doc coming up. Let's get into... Got seven here. Because expectations are part of this. Can you bring Nebraska back? And how soon will you, can you, bring Nebraska back? And you have some national analysts that think it'll be sooner than later, but Frost wasn't going to give a number.
I've said it 100 times, we're not going to put those kind of goals out in front of us. I know if we're getting better day by day, we're going to be really dangerous and hard to beat in the very near future. We'll see how this first year goes. People better get us now because we're going to keep getting better.
That's very fair. And you know what? With this team and this program, you are going to see progress. You will see progress. What you see first quarter to fourth quarter against top fives, against top 25s, against the Akrons, it will be visible to you. And you'll take that over a number. Because guess what? What you see quarter one through quarter four will translate to that number you like. 9, 10, 11. And against the teams you want it to, you want it to be against. I mean, you just have this confidence and this track record. He's done it. He knows how to do it. He's lived it. And that's one of the things Coach Frost was pretty adamant about in a question he was asked to about on a sidebar with the past, right? Are you comfortable with the past in Nebraska? Most folks here haven't been.
We're not going to run from the past, and I get the impression from afar, I got the impression that for quite a few years recently, Nebraska has abandoned the past and turned its back on the past. I've said this publicly, if you have an organization or a company that's the best in its sector for 25 years, and then it underperforms for the next 10 or 15 and doesn't perform to the same level, you're crazy if you don't look back at what made that company the best in its field for as long as Nebraska was the best in college football. We need to get a lot of those things back. We're going to embrace it. We're going to embrace ex-players. We're going to adopt some of the same ideas and try to get the program back to close to where it was when Coach Osborne was around.
Pretty good stuff, man. That works well. And we're going to embrace the past. It's very fair to say, I don't think Bo was intimidated by the past, but I think he got wary of it, and it was because you got to live up to that. It's something that Mitch touched on earlier, too. I mean, you've got a time right now where you have time to build. Whoever's been here has followed somebody who's won 9 games, typically. And you need to be better than that because you were brought in to be better than 9 wins. A Jock Ducks on the way at Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon, how are you, man?
I'm great, Chris. How was the big trip to Chicago?
It was good. Have you ever had a 7-ounce filet mignon that melts in your mouth, my friend? It was beautiful.
Not enough.
I will ask another time about bourbon then, too, because that was all right. Well, good enough, man. How have you been? And, you know, it's always something going on with some baseball. And what can you tell us about Javi Baez? A lot of Cubs fans around. And Derek, are you still... Derek Peterson was with us earlier, Dr. Brandon. He, I think, kind of likes the Cubs. I know Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, has his game streaming, and he's nervous. So what happened with Javi?
Yeah, you know, kind of a wounded warrior club a little bit. You got Javi down, you got Chris Bryant hurt.
Yep.
But what it looks like with Javi, they're not releasing a whole lot of details. Kind of going off the mechanism, you could watch it. When I pull it up online, you can watch it. He had another player slide into his leg going into a bag. And it looked like he kind of had what we call a valgus motion where the knee kind of goes towards the inside. It's pretty easy with a mechanism like that to stretch out your MCL, which is probably what he did. That'd be the medial collateral ligament, which would be the ligament on the inside part of your leg. Very common injury. On top of that, probably also had a contusion type of injury, whether it was truly a contusion that went down into the cartilage in the bony area or more just soft tissue kind of surrounding the knee. But that's what they're calling it. Again, not being real specific, kind of basing it on just the mechanism that he had. That's likely what's going on.
Well, I mean, you look at Javi, and he was able to pinch hit with Bryant out, and he had that bruised left knee and the collision last night. So, you know, he got a leadoff single. That was huge. So he was able to go with it. But long term, is this going to need more than just ice and aspirin?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I think this should be a pretty short-term deal for him, you know, based upon just the success he had last night getting back in there and playing. You know, likely these are both kind of low-grade issues for him. You know, the big thing to worry about is if he does have some bruising that goes down either into the bone or even into the cartilage area, that can be something that can kind of linger throughout the season, so you start to worry about that a little bit. But if it's more just a little stretch on the MCL, more kind of soft tissue bruising, he should heal up fairly quickly from this and should be ready to make a good playoff run with him.
Tell me a little bit here about the different grades and strains with the MCL, because you have something happen with the MCL, there can be a lot of damage with that ligament, but other ligaments too, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that really is the big thing. So classifying these injuries, so when we're talking specifically medial collateral ligaments or MCL ligament, there's three basic grades out there. One, grade one is kind of a mild sprain. The ligament gets stretched just a little bit, but it retains kind of the same stability. No really kind of compromise of the ligament. Grade two, you start to get a little bit more of a stretch of the ligament. Now you start to, when you examine those athletes, they have a little bit of looseness in their knee, but they do have what we call a good endpoint, meaning it kind of stops and you put the max pressure on it, and there is a little bit of some damage there. And then the third grade would be when it, you know, completely tears off one side or the other, and you essentially have no kind of stability left to it when you push on it or test it. So one, it's important to classify it via that, both from a treatment perspective, but also it gives a lot of prognostic value to it. So typically somebody with a grade one sprain is going to make a return, you know, within a couple of days to, you know, 2 weeks. Grade twos sometimes will take 3 to 6 weeks to return, sometimes a little sooner. And then obviously your grade threes, you're probably looking at maybe surgery or a long kind of rehab course.
So Schmitty mentioned earlier, I'm a big Cubs fan, and like you mentioned, Dr. Brandon, we're very banged up. And one concern we've been having is fans, and it's been with
fans are banged up too. I ran into you clowns yeah. down on Michigan Avenue.
Well, you went on the two rough days. We're losing to the Diamondbacks, but so yeah, we got the dub today. But anyway, so our pitching rotation has been a cause for concern, and one of those players, Yu Darvish, who we've spent a lot of money on, he's been out since May 20th, had right triceps tendonitis. I kind of want to get your diagnosis on just what you know about that, and how much is it maybe more mental than physical, especially being a pitcher.
Yeah, sure. Always a dangerous territory talking mental with Yu Darvish. But so we'll be careful to go down that pathway. No. But in the big scheme of things, you know, triceps injuries, it definitely is the real deal. So you think about what a triceps does for you in terms of your release, in terms of some of the spin you put on the ball. Having that ability to kind of snap off to the elbow at the end of your throw is huge. And so for him, that is the real deal. Can be very painful. It actually is not a very common injury in pitchers. I can't say that I see that very often with the number of baseball kids I see. But it does happen. When it does happen, you know, obviously it's going to land you on the DL for a little while, especially at that level and with, you know, the amount of control you need at that level. So for him, you know, what are you looking at for a return for something like that? You know, typically, 4 to 6 weeks is kind of a good time frame to get him back, especially if there's no, you know, kind of real tearing within the tendon itself. It's more kind of a tendonized picture. Those are guys you can really get after quickly with, you know, say a PRP shot, some stem cells, you know, high-level therapy, coupled with some rest, and those usually respond pretty well. And I think he'll be back doing his thing. If you want to venture down the mental path of it. Probably not a huge part of it, but like pitchers, all of us know anything's off in their rhythm or their timing, and that does play a big role in how they function. And so it probably is having at least some kind of role with them, as any injury would have with a pitcher, especially at that level.
No, they are so into routine. I mean, you're absolutely right. Dr. Brandon Seifert with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday, a bit of a walking wounded Cubs injury report right here. Baez with the MCL, although he came through with a leadoff single to pinch hit. You got Bryant, and then you got Yu. The thing that's nice about Yu Darvish is what he did for his minor league rehab. Part of that rehab was being kind to others, and that's buying Ruth's Chris for not only the visiting clubhouse, but his own clubhouse. He had it catered in, Dr. Brandon.
Impressive.
So I high-five him for that. We got about 60 seconds here. What's your outlook for Chris Bryant?
I think good. I think they're protecting their investment a little bit. You know, he's probably a guy that they may entertain the thought of either some high-level injections or maybe even a little look with the shoulder scope at the end of the season to see what's cooking. But fortunately with him, I think they can kind of nurse him along for the rest of the year. I think from a hitting perspective, he should be okay throwing across the diamond, maybe a bit limited here going through the rest of the season. But, you know, based upon how long this thing has been nagging for him, it wouldn't surprise me if they go and maybe take a look with the scope at the end of the season. I'm sure he's probably had two or three MRIs already. But that's probably what his outlook looks like, which if he had to go get a scope, get some things cleaned up with what he plays as a position player, he'll do great. He'll return and do well.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday, little Cubs Wednesday for you with Bryant, Javi, and Darvish. Dr. Brandon, we'll swing the club soon, and we'll get caught up again. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great, guys. Y'all take care.
You too. There he is, Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Danny is dialing that guy he knows down the hall on tomorrow's game, thanks to our Cubs medical inside info here. We'll wind down a Wednesday. Miss the show, can log on HailVarsity.com or iTunes. And some of the greatest hits of today will be out on Twitter and Facebook for you with Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Big thank you, Kramer. AgriGold. That soybean sign in your neighbor's field is AgriGold, and customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. Chris Schmidt and the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Doug tweets in as we're talking King of the Quarterbacks. And Doug, clearly an Iowa fan, or he's just got Hawkeye quarterbacks seared into his head. Brad Banks, I think Brad Banks was what, 02, 03? Didn't they rock somebody in the Orange Bowl? They beat Georgia Tech. So Brad Banks was a dual-threat Heisman runner-up. Drew Tate, CFL. Ricky Stanzi in the NFL. Jake Rudock, Beathard. I think Iowa is having a guy that is okay, but he's just don't screw it up. Run the football, get turnovers, play defense. I mean, do you think of Iowa and Ferentz is like a guy that I just listed a lot of guys that have gone on to do pretty good things, but I'm not overly wowed by Iowa's quarterback play.
No, I think.
I mean, the thing that has turned Nebraska into a, you know, victim has been the offensive and defensive line play, just getting your nose bloodied. I mean, the guy can make a throw, but he's not the reason they're winning.
Right. They get a tough-nosed guy. Like you said, they want a guy who gets the job done, comes in, works, and can take a hit, too. That's kind of what Wisconsin needs Hornibrook to be, like we mentioned earlier.
No, and some of those, like, difference-making games. I mean, Hornibrook has won. He has the Miami win, to his credit. But Stanley, I mean, Stanley put up 56 against Ohio State. Well, 49, technically, because the defense. How many defensive scores did Iowa have that game? We sat out with the Iowa kids. I'm like, bro, what the hell happens at Kinnick at night?
Yeah.
Because you guys are 7-5 most of your lives, but you're undefeated at home. How do you bottle what you do against Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State and spread it around the rest of the season? How do you get consistently great versus picking one game a year where it's November and nobody wants to roll into Kinnick at night? Because that's what they are. But they've done it enough to be a little greater than a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
They should be 3-0 against the East. I think they beat Michigan State the last time Sparty went there. So I don't know. We shall see. Tomorrow on the show, probably a Brandon Vogel sighting. I haven't talked to Vogues in forever. It feels like forever. We will talk with Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo. He saw everybody. They saw him. What's he think from Chicago? So we'll get caught up with Coach DiNardo, maybe another special guest en route. So that'll be nice. How much money did you win off Shuey? Off his...
Put three down, one about like 75 or 78.
So it's dinner time. That's what you're telling me. We're going to go have a drink and a steak.
That's right.
It's Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thank you.